Hey, good morning, everyone. Good Erev Shabbos. I first want to thank Eli Fien from Atlanta, Georgia, who's been following the Daf Yomi Shirim and Wadi Torah for sponsoring today's shir. Today's Daf is Daf Mem Beis. So we got to the very top line of Mem Beis Amin Aleph. The Gemara has been discussing the topic of putting hot water or cold water in some type of metal. So Gemara had concluded in yesterday's Daf that Shmuel held like Rabbi Shimon, that when it came to Davar Sheinu Miskaven, Shmuel holds Davar Sheinu Miskaven his mother, so Shmuel was in alliance with the Shitas Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara now says in the very top line of Mem Beis Amad Aleph, the Maimer is this to suggest that Shmuel could Rabbi Shimon Tzvirle, that Shmuel really holds like Rabbi Shimon, they really line up with each other. V'hamar Shmuel, doesn't Shmuel hold? Mechab gacheles shamateches b'rshus harabim. You're allowed to extinguish, if let's say you have a metal coal, something hot in the b'rshus harabim, b'shvil shalo yezuku b'rab, you could extinguish this on Shabbos in order that no one gets hurt, no one gets injured, because it's in b'rshus harabim. Avolo gacheles shal eitz, but not if it's a coal of wood, if it's some type of wood that is hot, on fire, that cannot be extinguished. So the Gemara says, now before we get to the Gemara, actually look at Rashi. Rashi points out the top line here, that gachel shematechas shemashlichen lechut psola shel barzel. Some of the leftover of the barzel that was thrown outside, shloshayach kiboy b'hachim midraisa. When you extinguish a metal that's hot, it's not subject to kiboy midraisa. It's only midirabana nasura. V'heicha de'ika nezg l'rabim, when there's a nezek, when it poses a danger for the public, lo gazu al hashvus. They were not gozer on this case, and therefore it's entirely permitted to extinguish a mateches that's on fire. Aval says Rashi, lo shel eitz, the isura deraisehi v'chayiv skila. When it comes to wood, some type of coal, some type of wood item that's on fire, that is a subject to an isur mideraisa, and therefore one cannot extinguish it, even though it poses a danger to the rabbi. So the Gemara says, back inside, four lines down, now, v'isakadaitach savrla k'Rabbi Shimon, if Shmuel really aligns up with the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, then afilu shel eitz nami. So really, a shel eitz should also be permitted according to Shmuel, because Rabbi Shimon allows you to extinguish a eitz. At least he holds extinguishing a gachel shel eitz is only midrabban. How do we know Rabbi Shimon holds this way? So Rashi explains four lines down. Afilu shel eitz nami. Dehal Rabbi Shimon melacha shenitzicha legufa pater leh. We know in general we had this discussion that Rabbi Yehuda holds melacha shenitzicha legufa schayif. Rabbi Shimon holds Mlacha Shein Tzichel Gufa is Pater. It's Pater of Al-Asr. It's Asr Midrabanan, but Pater is not Deraisa. So putting out an eight, Rashi explains, why is this Mlacha Shein Tzichel Gufa? The whole kiboy, any type of extinguishing, the Eidnu Tzarech Gufa, that's not needed for itself, Chut Me Osip Chamim O Mehave Psila. Unless you're extinguishing the fire, so that wood is making a wick, so it's making some type of coal that can be used to light a fire. Extinguishing to put out the fire is a melacha shetzrich l'gufa. It's only melacha shetzrich l'gufa if, in fact, you're using it to make a wick, to make a coal. In this case, you're not putting out the fire to make a coal. Now, you're making a coal, you're making a wick that happens memela, but that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it to put out the fire. So that's a melacha shetzrich l'gufa. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, you're pater. So if you're potter from this melacha shenchich legufa, Shmuel should allow you to extinguish not only the mateches, the gachel shel mateches, but even the gachel shel eitz should be permitted according to Rabbi Shimon and according to Shmuel. So the Gemara explains that no, there are two different concepts. There's a concept of davar shein miskaven that Shmuel holds mutter, and there's also melacha shenchich legufa, which Rabbi Shimon also holds as mutter. But although Rabbi Shimon holds both categories of mutter, doesn't mean Shmuel paskins like him in both instances, and that's what the Gemara answers. The Gemara says that when it comes to b'davar shein miskaven savala k'Rabbi Shimon, but melacha shein tzuch legufa savala k'Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel splits his psak. When it comes to davar shein miskaven, that's where he aligns with Rabbi Shimon and says pater, and therefore the yesterday's daf and today's daf about gachel shemateches b'shus rabim, that's permitted. When it comes to melacha shein tzuch legufa, there he passes like Rabbi Yehuda, that's chayiv, and therefore you cannot extinguish the gachel shel eitz. So Gemara now says, Amar Ravina, Hilkach Kot Birshus Harabim Molicha Pachos Pachos Midal Amos. Let's say you find a thorn or perhaps a broken glass or something dangerous for the Rabbim, not only a fire, but even something that's sharp, that also you're allowed to move. Now, it's in Birshus Harabim. We said before, when it's posing a danger for the Rabbim, you can't violate a Melacha Deraisa, but you can violate a Melacha Midirabaran. So if it's a Birshus Harabim, carrying is a Deraisa. But if you carry Pachos Pachos pachas midal amos. You carry it less than 4 amos at a time. You walk a couple feet and you stop and you walk a couple feet. That's called pachas midal amos. That's only a hotza on a derabban level. That's what a person could do to remove it from Rishis Rabim. Or, the Gemara says, if it's in a karmelis, where carrying regularly is only at worst a derabanan, there the Gemara says, ubekarmelis, you find such an item that's dangerous, afilu tuva, even further than that. Rav Yasha points out that the reason why you're able to move this is because back then they would walk around barefoot, so this was dangerous. Nowadays, where you walk around with shoes, so then this would not be a concern, there's not such a danger, and therefore these heterim would not be in place. Okay, the Gemara now quotes from yesterday's Mishnah of Al Nosin. We're talking about in the yesterday's Mishnah about pouring water into a hot urn of some sort. So Gemara now presents a brice, and it's going to analyze this brice about pouring hot water into cold water and cold water into hot water. So Gemara says as follows, Tanu Rabbanan. No sein adam chamin l'toch hatzonin. A person could place hot water into cold water. V'lo hatzonin l'toch hachamin divrei beis shammai. But cold water may not be placed in hot water. So take a look at Rashi to see what's going on here. Rashi says, chamin l'toch tzonin, hot water into cold water, that's allowed. The kasavar tatagvar. So we have a machlokus in the Gemara Pesachim, a tatagvar or ilagvar, which means if you have, it's talking bas b'chalzer, meat and milk. And meat and milk, when they mix together, part of it mixing it together, you need to have a heating element. It has to be heat to generate a transfer of belias, a transfer of tam. So let's say the bottom is hot, the top is cold, or the bottom is cold, the top is hot. So when they come together, do we say that one cools off the other? Does one beat out the other? And the Gemara has two opinions, but we conclude halacha maisa that tatagvar, the bottom always wins. So if the bottom is hot, so that's able to cause a transfer. But if the bottom is cold, even though the top is hot, that we say no, there is no transfer in that case. Without getting involved in basa b'chalav, applying it out now to bishul b'shabbos, so we have tatagvar. So if the bottom is hot and you pour cold water in, so there the din would be that's also because since the bottom is hot, that's tatagvar. It's going to cause the cold water to cook. But if you're pouring hot water down into cold water, since the cold water is the bottom, and we say tatagvar, the bottom always wins, so it's cooling off the hot water, and that would be allowed. So that's what Beis Shammai says. Just read that inside one more time. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, nosin adam chamin l'toch hatzonin. You may pour hot water into cold water, because since the cold water is the bottom, that's tatagvar, it cools off the hot water. But v'lo hatzonin l'toch hachamin, but to pour cold water into hot water, where the hot water is in the bottom, that would say tatagvar, and that will generate bishul of the cold water. That's all divrei Beis Shammai, the opinion of Beis Shammai. But then the Gemara says, just to look at Rashi one more second, Rashi says, v'lo tzonin l'toch hachamin, but cold water into hot water is prohibited. Rashi explains like what we just said, shetachtonim martichin es ha'elyonim tatagvar, that the bottom boils up the hot top, and therefore it's a violation of bishul. Comes along back to the Gemara now, base Hillel Omrim, Bein Chamin L'toch HaTonin, Bein Tonin L'toch HaChamin Mutter. You're allowed to do it in either direction, cold into hot, hot into cold. And the Gemara, before explaining in Rashi, the Gemara qualifies Beis Shammai's statement and says, Beis Hillel's statement rather, Bameh Dvar Ma'amur, and when is this all true? Because when it comes to a cup, that's where this is allowed. Why does a cup change anything? So Rashi explains, because Dilishtia Kavayle, the guy wants to drink. When you drink something, you don't want it to be too hot, so he's not going to have the hot water so hot, number one. And number two is v'od de klisheni, and klisheni is not mevashel, it's not mevashel water. We're going to see in Amar Beis a little bit more about klisheni, but klisheni, just for now, is not mevashel anything, and therefore, even though the bottom might be hot, pouring cold water into klisheni is allowed. So aval back to the Gemara now, aval bambati. When it comes to a bath of some sort, chamin l'toch hatzonin, you could pour hot water into the cold water, because since the cold water is on the bottom, tatagvar, it cools off the hot water. But what you can't do is v'lo tzonin l'toch hachamin, but to pour cold water into hot water, that would be us, because since it's not a klisheni, we're assuming the ambati is a klirishon of some sort, therefore if it's a klirishon, we say tatagvar, then therefore be us in this instance. So Beis Hill makes a chlip. Now, comes along Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, he's Oser. He says it's Oser. So we're going to have to figure out his Shita. It's unclear whether it's referring to the Seifa or the Reisha, but let's just go with right now. The Gemara says it's Oser. Pasha Pshat is, he's Osering, even this last case, as Rashi says, Oser, afilu chamin the toch tzonin. He prohibits even pouring hot water into cold water, that even though the cold water is on the bottom, and normally we say tatagvar, in this instance, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh holds that pouring hot water into cold water would be prohibited as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman Halacha, Kribishim Ben Manasseh, that's how we paskin, that you can't pour hot water into cold water, nor cold water into hot water. So the Gemara says, Savar Rav Yosef Lemeimar, Rav Yosef wanted to say that when it comes to a seifa, which is a wash basin, they explain it, which is smaller than a bathtub, he felt the seifa harehu kambati. It's like a bati that Rashi explained to a seifa harehu kambati, the afagab, the klisheni, who even though a seifel, this is a bucket, is a klisheni, and ho velav lishtia elurchitza, so since it's not using it to fill up water to drink, but rather using it to bathe, asiri, why you asir, denichale shiachamu harbe, you want it to be very hot, and therefore, gazrinan, there it goes, they're using it. When it comes to drinking water, like we saw in Rashi before, you don't want the hot water to be hot. It's lo nichle. Even if it gets hot, lo nichle, you don't want it to be so hot. You want the dafka to cool off. So it's kind of like a psig ratio to lo nichle. When it comes to seifa, where you're bathing, where you want the hot water to be really, really hot, in this case, since it's nichle, if it's going to get hot, therefore it will be a problem. There it goes in this case that one should not pour it into the seifa. So it has a din, even though it's a cliche, he has a din of a kli rishon, like in Ambati. So the Gemara says, Amar le Abayi Tana Rabbi Chia. Seifel ain't no kambati. He says, no, not true. A seifel, this bucket, this wash basin, is not like kambati. It's a klisheni, and therefore permitted. Fine. So now the Gemara says, now that we've established, Ulamad the Salakadaita Mekara, that we initially had thought that the seifel, Harehu kambati, that a seifel, the wash basin, this bucket, has the same din as an abati, that even Beis Hillel would agree, it's aser. So the din would be the Amar of Nachman Halacha Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. We hold that we paskin Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. It's aser. It's aser regardless of the direction. That again, Beis Hillel said when it came to Ambati, the din would be that Chamin Latoch Tonin is permitted. Tonin Latoch Chamin is aser. And Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh held that now it's aser regardless of the direction by Ambati. Tonin Latoch Chamin. It's all aser by Ambati. And then we want to extend this initially that a seifel, a wash basin, has the same din as an Ambati, which means according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, we would aser in this wash basin, we would aser both tonin letoch chamin and chamin letoch tonin. Now if that's the case, so Gemara has a question, well I'll say this outside, then we'll read this inside afterwards. We know that you're allowed to wash panav yadav viraglav on Shabbos if you have hot water that was heated before Shabbos. That's allowed. You can heat water up on Shabbos, that we know. But water that was heated from before Shabbos, you could use, not to bathe called gufo, but you could use hot water that was huchma mer of Shabbos to bathe panav yadav raglam. So the Gemara is about to ask now, if now we're asking an abati, no one wants to use hot water. You can't use hot water. Let's say you have hot water that's been sitting in the urn. We then have it's sitting in the urn, so it's boiling hot. The only way for it to stay hot from Erev Shabbos is if you have it in an urn. So it's boiling hot. No one is going to obviously use the hot water from the urn to wash their face, hands, and legs. They're going to burn themselves. So you have to cool it off. Now, how are you going to cool this off? You can't cool it off if it's in the initial ambati. Now, imagine that their urn is like in this big bath. It had an urn in it. It kept it under. There's a fire underneath it. So that we already paskin according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. You can't pour water, cold water, into the bath itself. Because that, we said, Rabbi Shimon Asir says Asir, because regardless of the direction. Now we're extending it not only as the Ambati Asir, but in the Havamina, even in the Seifel, even in the bucket would be Asir. I mean, in other words, if I take out some water with a bucket, now the bucket's a klisheni, so now in the Havamina we said that the bucket is the same din as an Ambati, so they both have a din of a klirishom, which means, according to Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, I can't pour cold water in there, nor can I pour hot water onto cold water, and they're both Asir. How do you ever take a bath on Shabbos with panav yadav raglav? You're never able to mix cold water with hot water, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh. Even the klisheni, he says, it's aser in the Havamina. So the Gemara says, that's the question. Hopefully that's clear. The Gemara says, you know, one of the challenges, speaking to the phone, not knowing who's answering, I can't see any facial reactions if people are understanding or not understanding. People can't raise their hands. That's certainly a challenge, but hopefully you're understanding what I'm describing here. So back inside, the Gemara says again, look at where we're up to now, l'amai desalakadaita, that which we initially had thought, meikara, from the beginning. The seifel harehu kambati. That seifel, this wash basin, is just like an abata. That the klisheni has a din of a klirishon in this instance. And Amar Rav Nachman halacha kribishim ben Manasseh, that asered cold water into hot water and even hot water from the klisheni into cold water. Ela b'Shabbos rechitza b'chamin Then when do you ever have rechitz b'cham? How are you ever able to have hot water? Because if you never can mix the cold water and hot water, even a klisheni, there's never an instance of a pun of yadav v'raglav. That's the shaila. So you look at Rashi just to make this all clear. Rashi says, Elo b'shabbos rechitz b'cham and leka bitmiya. You're never going to have a bathing on Shabbos with pun of yadav v'raglav. To hold Rabbi Shimon, afilu cham l'toch tzorina. So he prohibits even pouring hot water into cold water. Lo mishkachas, you can never find the case of chamin shehuchmu that vafil me'er of Shabbos. You never have a case of hot water from Friday that's been heated. That doesn't need to be cooled off. I mean, you always have to mix the hot water that's been sitting in the urn all Shabbos with cold water to make it usable. So, vimkein, if that's the case, if you can never mix hot water and cold water, according to Rabbi Shimon, lo yirchotz afilu panav yadav v'raglav b'chamin. You can never wash your face, hands, and feet. So the Gemara explains, wait a second. Mi savers Rabbi Shimon aseifa kai. Who says Rabbi Shimon is referring to the seifa here of this case of the kosa and the ambati? Who says he's referring to that situation? Really, a reisha kai. He's referring to the reisha, and it reads as follows. Just look what seifa and reisha. Rashi says mi savers Rabbi Shimon aseifa kai. The lo shari tanakama elachamin the toch tzonim, that you only permit hot water into cold water, and asa ihu v'asa afachamin the toch tzonim, and he asked even cold hot water into cold water. He's not referring to the seifa. Areishakal, he's referring to not the bathing part, he's referring to the shtia, to the drinking part. Rashi says v'tonim the toch chamin the kashar beis hillel k'asa, that which beis hillel permitted you to put cold water into hot water into a kos, that you're using it for drinking, that he said by kos it's allowed tzonim into chamin. There, by the coast, is when Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh said his asr. So now the Gemara explains, Arei Shekai, Ubeis Hillel Matirin, Bein Chamin L'toch Tzonin, Bein Tzonin L'toch Chamin, in the coast, regardless of the direction, in that case, Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Oser, Tzonin L'toch Chamin. He said, you cannot put cold water into hot water, even when it comes to the coast. That's what we are talking about. So Leim, is this to suggest Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh, Damar Ki Beis Shammai? Does that mean that he holds like Beis Shammai? Because Beis Hillel is the one who learned you allowed you to put in a kos. That Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh says you can't put in a kos. That means he holds like Beis Shammai, that you can't pour even cold water into hot water, even into a kos. And the Gemara says, no, he doesn't hold like Beis Shammai. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh holds Halchi Kamar. Lo nechleku Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel b'davar zeh. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh felt that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel didn't argue in this matter. They actually both agreed that you're not allowed to a kos. This chilek of a kos versus ambati, according to Beis Hillel, he didn't think it existed. No one holds it. Even Beis Hillel doesn't hold such a chilek. Both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai hold that you can never pour tonin into chamin, regardless of being an abati, and even if it's a kos, he felt this was aser. So he's not aligning with Beis Shammai, rather he holds everyone paskins this way. So now the Gemara says, last few lines of the Amud, Amr of Huna Bered of Yeshua, Chazin Elay the Rava, the Lokapid Amana. I saw that he was not makbid on a klisheni. When pouring cold water, when it came to a klisheni, he passed that it was allowed. So how do we know? How do we know that you're allowed to do this when it comes to a klisheni? So the Gemara says, Midetani, from the fact that it says here, the Rabbi Chia, knows in Adam Kitan Shemaim Latoch Sefer Shemaim. You're allowed to put a Kitan, we'll see, we're going to tweak the language of the Brayos in just a moment, but right now it sounds like you place a ketan of mine, a container of water, not pouring the water into the hot water, but the whole kli. You have a jug of water, you're putting the jug and water inside the toch seva shemaim, you can put it to a wash basin of water, bein chamin l'toch tonin, bein tonin l'toch chamin. Whether or not it's a hot jug or a cold jug into the water basin, regardless of the direction, it's allowed. Mara says, this is not the same case. This case is different because it's in a kli. It's water inside a kli that's being placed inside water of a kli. So that's not the comparable case. We're talking about water directly into water. Gemara says, no, you're right. We're going to tweak the language. Ma'ara itmar. It's talking about pouring water from the ketone into the water of the seifel. And this is what it should say. Ma'ara adam ketone shemaim litoch seifel shemaim. Bein chamin l'toch tzonin, bein tzonin l'toch chamin, and therefore it's allowed. So a commentary from this Gemara actually is something very important in halacha l'maisa. We'll see more about this on Beis by klisheni. Klisheni, we say, klisheni is not mevasho. Kli rishon is mevasho. Klisheni is not mevasho. Klisheni is only able to be mevasho that which is kali avisho, only that which easily cooks. You know, example we'll talk about in just a moment is tea leaves, according to many, is something that easily cooks, kali avisho. So that which is kali avisho is subject to bishul even in klisheni. But certain items, the Gemara says, clearly are not Kali Bishul. Certain things are certainly not easily cooked. One example here is water. So the Gemara says clearly that we paskin this way as well, based on this testimony that that Rav Huna wasn't machmir about a kli sheni, that even though kli sheni had chamin, he poured cold water directly because kli sheni cannot be mevashel water. Water is not kali abishal. Water, as we know, takes time to boil. Therefore, it's not kali abishal. That's what comes out very important halacha maisa from this case. So let's say a person has chicken soup. You have chicken soup that's really, really hot. So you put it into a kli sheni. So forgetting the question right now of a ladle. The ladle, according to some, might be a kli sheni, and the soup bowl you're drinking from is a kli shlishi. But let's assume the ladle does not have a kli sheni. Let's say the chicken soup is a kli sheni, and it's very hot, and you want to put ice in for your children, or perhaps even for yourself. So can you put the ice in there? So there are two possible concerns with putting ice in soup. Number one is it's considered nolad. Nolad, it melts the ice. And number two is it's mivashal the water. Now that's cold. So in terms of nolad, it's not an issue because the Mishabura points out, nolad, without getting to the chilukum, molad is when you create water from ice. Nolad is where you put it into a situation where it's going to melt on its own more passively. So nolad, although the Ramah is normally machbid on nolad, when it melts in a way where you can't recognize it, it melts into other liquid, like this case, you don't recognize the melted water because it goes right into the soup, nolad is not a problem. In terms of cooking, it's also not a problem because we see from the Gemara here in Membez that when it comes to a kli sheni is not mevashel water. So even though the ice melts and it's really, really cold and the soup is really, really hot, we say that the kli sheni is not mevashel water. Okay. Let's now the last line, the beginning of the next Mishnah, the Gemara says in the bottom of Mem Beis Amun Aleph, Masnisin, Ilpis Vakadera Shehevirun Miroskin. You have these different types of pots. One's a frying pan. The Ilpis is a frying pan. Kadera is a pot. You took it off the fire, so it's a Kli Rishon. When it's on the fire, it's called a Kli Rishon Shel Agabe Esh. It's a Kli Rishon on the fire, and when you remove it, even though it's no longer the fire, it's still considered a Kli Rishon. So the din is, lo yitein l'shochan tavlin, you can't place tavlin, you can't place spices inside of them, and because the din is kli rishon is mevashel, tavlin spices are not cooked. But aval nosin hu l'toch hakara, o l'toch hatamchoy, but you can place it into a bowl, or you can place it into some other type of plate, that's allowed. Rabbi Yehuda, omer l'cholhutz, because Rabbi Yehuda, just look at Rashi, Rashi says, aval nosin hu l'toch hakara, the kli sheni ain mevashel, because this is the kliraya, that kli sheni is not mevashel. So then comes along Rabbi Yehuda, and Rashi points out, we're going to see in the Gemara in just a moment, what Rabbi Yehuda says, is he being machmir, is he being mekel, is he commenting on the Rashi, is he commenting on the Seifa? So Rabbi Yehuda, a little bit unclear what he means right now, Rabbi Yehuda omer, l'chol hu nosein, you could put into everything, chut midavar sheish b'chometz v'tzir, with the exception of something that has vinegar or a fish brine, that's not allowed. So what exactly is Rabbi Yehuda commenting on? So the Gemara opens up as follows: Ibar lehu Rabbi Yehuda Reisha kai ulakula o Dilma Asefa kai ulachumra. Is Rabbi Yehuda going back to the Reisha? He's being more lenient, whereas Rabbi Yehuda commenting on the Seifa and he's being more macha. What does that mean? So Rashi explains the Tutsdam. Reisha kai is Rabbi Yehuda going to the Reisha. The Reisha says Al ilfis the Ka'asu Tanakama, that which the Mishnah Tanakama says you can't place on top of the pot. That's a Kli Rishon. You can't place tavlin. It's aser. The Kama Rabbi Yehuda lechol ilfis and hunosin. The Kli Rishon lo mevashel. He argues that Kli Rishon is not mevashel. The only time a Kli Rishon is mevashel if there's a chometz or tzir, if there's vinegar or fish brine, is a Kli Rishon mevashel. Outside of that, then Kli Rishon is not mevashel. In which case, Rabbi Yehuda is very, very mekel. Oh, Dilma Asefa Kli, says Rashi on the Seifa, Akarav Tamchoy the Kashari Tanakama. The bowls, the Kli Sheni, the Tanakama permitted. V'hamar like Rabbi Yehuda says, V'chol karos v'tamchoyin modin l'chai. I agree in general that you can place them into any Kli Sheni. The only Kli Sheni you can't place it in is chutz midar sheish b'chometz v'afilu Kli Sheni nami lo. He says by Kli Sheni there's also a limitation that if the liquid that's there is fish brine or vinegar, which apparently have the ability to retain the heat more, so that, he says, a Kli Sheni would be usher with those items, so he's more machmir, he's commenting on the Seifa. Now, the way Kli Sheni works, just to understand for a moment, it's a very important halacha maaseh as well. Tosfos points out that Kli Sheni, why is Kli Sheni not mevashel? Because the moment, even though it looks really, really hot, the moment you pour from a Kli Rishon into Kli Sheni, the walls of the bowl are cold, and they immediately cool off the liquid that's placed in there, and that's why Kli Sheni does not have the ability to cool off. So So perhaps the understanding of Yehuda is as follows, because when it comes to a davar gush is a solid food that doesn't, you know, touch all the walls of the bowl or the plate. It's, you know, a plate certainly that doesn't touch the walls. And also, it retains the heat much more. It's enclosed. You know, a hot potato would be, a baked potato would be a great example. When you slice open a baked potato, the steam comes out. So it just clearly shows there's insulating some food. So certain foods certainly retain heat more than others. But using a baked potato is a great example of a gush, davar gush, a solid food that even a klisheni has the ability to cook, even though it's, even a davar gush, even though it's a klisheni, has the ability to cook. So there are different dayas in the Gemara about this, in the poskim, in the Kamas Hilchos Shabbos, whether Davar Gush is able to be mavashal or not. It also comes up by your day as well, whether Davar Gush has the ability to cook, if it's a klisheni. But perhaps this is the reason as well. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that when it comes to a tzir and chometz, that has the ability to retain heat as well, even though it's not a Davar Gush, it's not a solid, but just like we have a case by a Davar Gush, by solid food, even though it's a klisheni, has the ability to still act like a kli rishon, according to some opinions. Perhaps also he felt the chometz and sear also, perhaps the you know, the makeup of it has the ability to retain some level of heat. So now let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, in the end of the day, what is Rabbi Yehuda commenting on? Is he saying that he's arguing the ration, he's very, very, very makel, that kli rishon is never mevashel unless it's tzir chometz? Or is he arguing the klisheni is not mevashel unless it has tzir chometz, which case it would be mevashel and it would be more machmer? So the Gemara says, Tashma, the Tani Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says that l'chol ilpas in all types of frying pans, hunosin, l'chol kaderos, roschen, hunosin, you can place them in all types of boiling pots, it's all allowed, chutz medavar sheish b'chometz v'tzir. So here it clearly holds that kli rishon did not have the ability to cook unless that kli rishon has a chometz or tzir. So he is arguing on the resha, and he's very, very much l'kulam. Gemara now says, this is very important, halacha l'maisa, when it comes to tavlin and when it comes to putting salt into food. So the Gemara says as follows, Savar of Yosef l'meimar, l'melech harei k'tavlin. Initially, Rav Yosef felt that salt has the same din as tavlin, as spices, the b'kli rishon bishla, u b'kli sheni lo bishla. It's able to be cooked in a kli rishon, but in a kli sheni, you're allowed to salt your soup in a bowl, but you can't salt your chicken soup with still in the initial pot. So the Gemara says, Amar Le'abai, Abai says, Tani Rebichia felt, Melech Eino Ketavlin. It's not like Tavlin. The B'kli Sheni Nami Bishla. It's more machmer. It's easily cooked. That it's able to even cook in a Kli Sheni. So this is an example, by the way, that even though the Mishnah says a Kli Sheni doesn't cook, here this statement says Kli Sheni does have the ability to cook. Mupligi there, Rav Nachman says, Amar Rav Nachman, Tzicha Milcha Bishula Kibasa Datura. He says the complete opposite. That you need salt, needs to be cooked. It's hard to cook, just like it's very hard to cook ox meat. The ikadami suffer, in which case, even in a kli rishon, it may not be able to cook. The ikadami, some say, suffer of Yosef lemeimar melch, harei katavlin, the kli rishon bashla, the kli sheni lo bishla. And again, another opinion that Yosef felt that salt is like tavlin, that it cooks in a kli rishon, doesn't cook in a kli sheni. And Amar Le'Abai, Abai says, Tanya Bichia, Melech Eino Ketavlin, it's not like Tavlin, the Kli Rishon, Nami Lo Bishla, doesn't even cook in the Kli Rishon, Mahainu Damar Rav Nachman, Tzricha Milcha Bishula, Kibisa Datura, just a different version that, just like ox meat takes a long time to cook, so too salt takes a long time to cook, and therefore you can place it even in a Kli Rishon. And Rashi just points out here, only a Kli Rishon when it's been removed from the fire. We never add anything into any item if it's on top of the fire, because it's Mechzik Mevashom. Only if the Kli Rishon is off the fire. So it comes out from here with three different shittas when it comes to salt, that either salt doesn't is never easily cooked, you can even place it in the Kli Rishon, or you can't even place it in a Kli Sheni, or in a Kli Rishon is Aser, but a Kli Sheni is Mutter. So how do we paskin halacha l'maisa? So the Shulchan Aruch brings a couple of deyos. This is found in Simon Shin Yud Ches of the Shulchan Aruch, and he writes that a Kli Rishon, although a Kli Rishon you can't place Tavlin, you could place Melech. So that's his first opinion. You could place salt in a Kli Rishon. But then the Ramah says there are those who aser placing salt even in a kli sheni, as long as the kli sheni is yad to let this bow. And the Ramah writes the hamachmir tavol abracha, once you machmir, not place salt even in their kli sheni. So chicken soup, if it's in a bowl, so if it's not yad to let this bow, it's not really boiling. And oftentimes it's really not. But if it's not yad to let this bow, it's not even a shayla. You could put the salt in. If it is yad to let this bow. So then, if it's the ladle is a kli sheni and the soup bowl is a kli shlishi, so that's also forbidden. But if you view the ladle as an extension of kli rishon, in which case the soup bowl is only kli sheni, then it will be a problem putting salt, according to the Ramah, into the chicken soup. Now, even though the Ramah says it's Tavola Bracha, one should be machmer and not place salt in the klisheni. If one did, im avar v'nosa melech, afil b'klirishon, even if you put salt in the klirishon b'di'eved, even if it was afilo al ha'esh, says the Ramah, shavar isur, you violated isur, went on top of the esh, muter ha'michel, it's muter nonetheless because the melech is batel agabi ha'michel, the salt is all batel. Even though the salt itself, the little particles of salt may have went through a process of bishul, but since it's batel, the gabi the soup, it's muter b'di'eved. That's what comes out from the Ramah. But the Mishnah Berurah points out, this is all only true when it comes to salt that has been excavated, or whatever the term is, it was taken from the ground. But many salts nowadays that were boiled out, Mishnah Berurah points out, Hani Mili B'melech Shechofrim, salt that you kind of dug up from the ground, that's where the discussion is. About Melech She'osin Mimayim She'mevashin also. When you evaporate the water, you boil out the water, and you're left with the salt, so that, the Mishnah Berurah points out, Ein Bo Mishum Bishul L'chuyama. That is not subject to Bishul at all, because Ein Bishul Achav Bishul. Once it went through one Bishul process, it can't go through Bishul again. So you have to figure out what type of salt you have. To my understanding is, in America, I believe most salts you get, the typical table salt, and other salts as well, are already went through a process of bishul, and therefore permitted to be, you could put it into klisheni and klirishon. In Eretz Yisrael, I believe it's not the case. I believe a lot of them are not cooked already. But again, I don't know the exact metzias. You have to find out, but different poskim and talk about different cases, but it's all a question really of metzias. Then the Mishnah Berurah asks the question about sugar. How do you classify sugar? And he brings two days there, and he quotes some who think that sugar can be placed directly in a klirishon, but then he says the others who are argue on this, and he says one should be careful not to place sugar into a klirishon, but a klisheni it seems like it would be permitted. Okay, so this is all of course very, very halach lamai. So let's go back inside, let's finish the daf. We're up to now the last Mishnah on Mem Beis Amid Beis. The Gemara Mishnah says as follows. Ein nosin kli, tachas haner, lekabo bo'as ha'shemen. The person may not place a kli on Shabbos to catch any of the oil that drips out from the candle. We'll look at Rashi's in just a moment. Before Shabbos, do whatever you want. But on Shabbos is a problem. Now, we're not talking about moving the candle, because you can't move a candle that's lit on Shabbos, but somehow you're able to get a kli underneath there to catch the oil. That cannot be done on Shabbos. We'll see why in just a moment. V'im nesunu mibod yom mutter, but if it was placed before Shabbos, that's allowed. But you can't get hana from any of the oil that dripped. You want to use the oil to dip your challah into. That's not allowed, because since that oil came off now on Shabbos, it wasn't considered prepared from beforehand and would be subject to violations of mukta. So what's going on here? Why can't you place a kli underneath the nair to catch the oil? So Rashi explains here on the Mishnah, Ein nosin b'Shabbos kli tachas haner. The kabo bo shemen hamis atev, mis taftev rather. You can't put the kli underneath to catch all the dripping oil. Mishum the shemen muksa, shemen's muksa. Okay, the kasavar ain kli nitel b'Shabbos elo l'tzorach davar nitel. You are not allowed to move a utensil for a purpose for the benefit of an item that is muksa. So I could use my fork to eat chicken, to eat meat. That's allowed. But to use a kli to protect something, to catch something that's muksa, that is a violation of this klal. We'll see later on in the Masechta more about this. But again, there's a klal called Ein Kli Nitel B'Shabbos Ela L'Tzorech Davar Nitel. You're not allowed to use a kli that is in muksa for the benefit of an item that is muksa. And since the shemen that drips off is considered muksa, you can't put a kli underneath there on Shabbos to catch it. Inami. Alternatively, Rashi suggests, Kesavar Asa Lebata Kli Me'echano. You're not allowed to make a kli in a situation where it's no longer able to be used. You can't take a kli and mevatel, and it's stuck there forever. So what does that mean? L'hoshiv kli b'makom shel yuchal ol lilo. To situate a kli where it's going to be in a situation where it can no longer be used on Shabbos. Mishum dehavik kikoveh l'makom u'mechaber betit v'dami l'makom. That it's like you're building something, because now I'm putting a kli underneath the oil. I can't move it for the rest of Shabbos. I just built a kli. I attached a kli to the ground, and that's similar to a malacha. It's not a derais. It's not really binin, but it gives the impression of building. So there are two different reasons Rashi suggests why you can't put the kli there. One is because it's a klal ein kli nitel b'Shabbos elatzorach davar nitel, or because it's a batel kli me'echano. Now, just as an example, a batel kli me'echano, there's a situation of are you allowed to? Shlomo Zalman talks about the case. Are you allowed to put a cup or a pot, rather a plate, So you have air conditioning, and it's dripping. It drips water. One of the vents that, you know, attached to the window or to the wall, so it drips. Can you put a plate or a bowl or a bucket underneath it to catch the water that's dripping? Is that a problem? So there's a Gemara in Mishnah in the Beit that talks about putting a bucket underneath a rain. You have a little leak in the ceiling. Can you put a bucket underneath? Is that considered batal klim hechano? Is that considered ein klin nita b'shabbos ela tzach davar nita? And there the Gemara says, you're allowed to because the water that drips is not muksa. Ah, it's rain. The Gemara in Erevin says rain is not muksa. The rain already exists in the clouds. It's just being megala the rain. So the water isn't muksa. It's not nola. It's not muksa. And since animals, dogs would theoretically drink the water, even though we wouldn't, it's considered not muksa, and you could put the kli there. What about an air conditioning vent? So is that considered nola? And Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that's not considered nola. The reason being is because since the water already exists, the water that comes from the air conditioning is the humidity in the air. Even though I don't see the humidity, perhaps I could feel it, I could sense it if it's really humid, but even though I don't see it, it exists. And with the process of the air conditioning, the cold and the hot, it's able to turn it into water. That's not called nola, that's not called muksa, and therefore the water that drips onto the plate, onto the bucket, would not be considered batel kli mechano, and would be, in fact, permitted. Now the Gemara, let's go to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amr of Chista, Afa Pish Amr, even though he said, Ein nosen kli tachas tarnegolos, the Kabbal Beis Asa, even though we have a dinner, Rav Chisda says, you can't place a kli, a bowl or cup, to catch an egg from a chicken, of a kofal kli, shol tishabit. But if an egg was laid, you could place a kli on top of it, this way no one steps in, this way no one breaks it. So I'm a rabbi, my time with Rav Chisda, what was the reason why that was allowed? Shouldn't it be a violation of ein kli, that ein kli nito b'shabit elotoch davar nito? Since the egg that was laid is muksa, so it's dar muksa, you shouldn't be able to take a cup to cover it. That's a violation of the mishnah. Klei nita b'shabbos ela tzorech davar nita. So the Gemara explains, kasavar tarnegolos asuya lehatil beitasa ba'ashba. The chickens are very likely to lay their eggs in a garbage of some sort, and since it's going to be in the garbage, Rashi points out, v'yesh lachosh shema tishaber biragli adam v'kofa lekli. There's a concern that a person might walk over it and break it. But as opposed to v'ena suy lahatil beitasa b'makom madrim, but unlikely that they're ever going to lay the egg on a slant, on a slope, that the egg's going to roll down. So therefore the Gemara is going to be mechalik, that which was likely, the Gemara says, hatala mutsuya hatira, when it was a very common hatala, that was a likely scenario, so the Chachamim upheld their gzeira and said, you know what, we're not going to be gozer, this concept of ain't klin nita b'shabbos, el tzorach nita davenita, if it's going to be a loss. So since it's a talmutsuya, it's a very common occurrence, they said, okay, in this case, you could take the kli and to cover the egg. But a tala shena mutsuya, lo hatir. But if it's a very unlikely case, that they didn't allow you to do this. So since an egg, if a chicken were to lay the egg on a slope, that's very unlikely, they didn't say you could put a kli to catch it from falling. That wasn't allowed. Only if it was a tala mutsuya, would they allow for it. So what's a tala mutsuya again? If it was in an ashba, they laid the egg in an ashba, and there's a concern that an egg might be stepped on and cracked, that's where they allowed to. So again, even though in general, in kli, that normally ain't kli nita b'shabbos ela tzorech davar nita, if it was for something that was common and needed, they allowed for it. So Gemara says, what about our Mishnah? Asks the Gemara, Eisive, Abaye, well not a Gemara yet, that will be in just a second, Eisive, Abaye, Hatala she'ena mutsuya lo hatira. Is it really true? If it's a hatala she'ena mutsuya, an uncommon hatala, an uncommon type of saving of money, they didn't permit, V'atana, doesn't the Brisa say, daf kuf yud zayin of Amar Sechta, Nishbura lo chavis shel tevel b'rosh gago. Let's say you've got a barrel of tevel. Tevel, just to remind yourselves, is produce that has not yet been separated chumas and maizes from it. So it's tevel, it's asati. You can't eat it on Shabbos. So the din is, if it's on the rooftop, and let's say it breaks. So now all the grapes and whatever else is in it is falling out. So the din is that maybe kli meniach tachta. So you're allowed to take a kli and catch everything so it doesn't go to waste. Isn't this a shayla? Because this is a muksa. Tevel is muksa because you can't eat it, so there's no purpose as muksa. And it's very unlikely that your barrel is going to break. So this is a hatala she'ena mutsuya, and let they allowed you to take a kli to save something which is muksa. So Gemara says, no, begulful chadasi dishchiche depaki. We're talking about barrels that are brand new, and brand new barrels which have not yet earned its strength yet and haven't been proved to be durable yet. So that is very common that they will break, and therefore it is considered a hatala mutsuya. That's why it's allowed. But had it been an old barrel, a barrel that's already established it's durable, and it broke, that apparently would not be allowed, would not be considered a hatala mutsuya. One last question. We'll stop with this. The Gemara says, "Eisivei nosin kli tachas aner lekabel nitotot." So our Mishnah here in Daf Mem Bei says you're allowed to. That the Mishnah says you're not allowed to. Oh, right, sorry. The Mishnah says you can place. I'm sorry. One more time. You cannot place kli to catch the oil. That's not allowed because that's not. But you can. What you're allowed to do is you can place a kli in order to catch any sparks. That's allowed. Rashi points out here: nitotot shall heves hanotvos min aner, flames or sparks that come from the fire. If you see it sparking, which is not common, but if it were to happen, kidei shlo yilak mashadachter, to catch any fires, afagav dinitotos lo mitalti v'lo shichi, even though sparks are not common, you're not to do this. So you see why? How can you use a kli for a davar sheino nitel, for a davar that's muksa? Nitotos and shalheves, flames are muksa. How is that allowed? And the Gemara says, apparently, nitotos na mishichi. Apparently it was understood that flames and sparks are common. They're common enough, I guess, that it would be considered telemetsuya, and therefore it would be permitted. So we'll stop here. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. And Mitzvah Hashem, we will continue on Sunday again, Sundays at 7:45, and then we'll go back the rest of the week to 7 o'clock.